Good evening and welcome back. We have an opportunity to come back and worship the Lord, and it's certainly encouraged to see you, and we appreciate those who are with us. And if you're visiting, we're glad that you're here as well. It's good to sing together and pray together and study God's Word together. When the Apostle Paul mentions there in Ephesians chapter 6 about what we call the whole armor of God, as he mentions those different pieces there right at the end, he mentions something that I want us to focus in on this evening in verse 18, where he discusses the matter of prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons. I want to talk about prayer seasons this evening. When do you pray? When do you pray during the day, or during the week, or during the month? When do you do that? One thing that immediately comes to our mind might be the matter of praying for our food when we sit down at the kitchen table. And hopefully we're doing that, and that might come to our mind. We might have memories of growing up where our parents were praying for food around the table. Are there any other times during the day when you pray? The Apostle Paul says here, praying at all seasons, plural. That lets me know that there are other times. What are those times? When do you pray? When do I pray? Another one that might come to our mind is certainly right here at the church building. We just had a prayer. Don led us in a good prayer. We might be thinking, well, I pray at home at the dinner table. My parents say a prayer. My dad does. And then when we're at the church building, that's another time when we pray, and that's good. But are there other times, are there other seasons of prayer? There are, and we want to look at some of those this evening. Turns me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, a very familiar passage about prayer. The Apostle Paul says there to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. That lets us know that prayer is to be on a regular basis, and that would let us know that there are times throughout the day when it's more than just praying for food or praying at the church building. There's going to be other occasions. There's going to be other situations in which we need to be praying. And the impressive thing about the Apostle Paul is that he never told brethren something to do that he wouldn't himself do. If you turn back to chapter 1 and verse 3, he does that very thing. He tells them in chapter 5 to pray without ceasing, and that's how he lived his own life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2, we give God to thanks always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and so forth. He said, pray without ceasing, and he did that himself. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. We find this statement a lot of times at the beginning of Paul's epistles where he will mention this very thing. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray and make request for you. There is a constant prayer life in the Apostle Paul. That would indicate it's not just three times a day at a meal, but much more than that. This evening, I want us to look at the life of Jesus. I want us to turn to the Gospels, and I want us to learn from the prayer life of Jesus that there are seasons of prayer. And in looking at this lesson, I hope that it will draw us closer to God on a daily and weekly basis. I want us not simply to go through the motions. Going through the motions of Christianity, going through the traditions of Christianity or the outward forms. But we would be drawn closer to God, and prayer is certainly something that will do that. I want us to be more than just simply a ritual or routine that when the food is laid out there on the table, we know that we're supposed to say something and go through that. Or when we come to the church building, we know that there's going to be an opening prayer and a closing prayer and that type of thing. But can we be drawn to God during the seasons of prayer? We don't want an outward and artificial Christianity. We don't want a superficial Christianity where we just simply go through the motions or the habits. But like Jesus, we want to be drawn close to the Father as He was drawn to His Father. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. There were times when Jesus prayed that He made sure that He had His disciples with Him there. He didn't do that for show. In the Sermon on the Mount, He criticized the Pharisees for praying for show. But Jesus included His disciples from time to time, even when He would go pray, so that they could learn from Him. There are two ways that we can teach somebody. We can teach people with words and we can teach people with actions. Here Jesus is teaching with actions. He's showing by example the different times in which you can go pray. Luke 9:18, and it came to pass as He was praying apart, the disciples were with Him, and He asked them, saying, "Who do the multitudes say that I am?" Look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that He took with Him Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And as He was praying, the fashion of His countenance was altered in what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John would have seen that. The disciples would have seen when He went somewhere to pray. We have the expression, actions speak louder than words. Sometimes Jesus taught lessons to His disciples by His actions, and that's what we want to look at this evening. When do you pray? That's the question. Not what. Not what are the words that you're saying. That's the subject of another lesson. But when? What are the seasons of prayer for you and for me? When the disciples saw Jesus praying, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Just turn over a couple of chapters. Luke chapter 11. When the disciples saw Jesus praying, they came to Him and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They asked Him that because they had seen Him doing that. Actions speak louder than words. I'm not going to go to Don and ask him something if I never see him doing that. I'm not going to go to Roger or Barbara and ask them to get help with something if I never see them doing that. They saw Him praying. And they said, Luke 11:1, it came to pass as He was praying. He's setting the example first. That when He stopped or ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And if you look at this story here in verses 2, 3, and 4, He gives them some words to say. And that's a good lesson. And we could study that. And we could look at these different words and phrases, and that makes a good sermon in itself. But this evening, we're not concerned about the words of Jesus, but the seasons in which He prayed, the occasions in which He prayed, and what we can learn from that. It's more than just praying for a meal. It's more than just some prayers that are said at the church building. Do we do anything above and beyond that? Jesus practiced prayer before He preached prayer. There were other occasions, like in the Sermon on the Mount, or Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 18, where He taught people lessons about prayer. And those are some great lessons. But before He told others about prayer, He practiced it Himself. And that's what we want to look at this evening. These occasions in His life from beginning to end. Different seasons of prayer. I think if we'll follow the example of Jesus this evening, and I believe we all want to do that, we're going to find ourselves closer to God, closer to a genuine, authentic Christianity, and not just something that is going through the motions each week. When did Jesus pray? Turn with me to Luke chapter 3. Jesus prayed when He began His ministry. We talk about breakfast as the most important meal of the day. How do you start your day? How do you start your activities How do you start any particular job or mission or something great that you're wanting to accomplish? How do you begin your marriage? How do you begin having children? How do you begin volunteering for a particular work that you want to take on? How do you begin that? How do you start that? In Luke chapter 3, this is Luke's account of Jesus' baptism. And Luke includes something that is not found in the Matthew account. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 21, it came to pass when all the people were baptized that Jesus also having been baptized and praying. Underscore that. He was baptized, and at that moment that he comes up out of the water, on that same occasion, he starts praying. Is that how you began your life as a Christian? Is that how I began my life? He knew that a good beginning starts with direction from God and communication with God. Right after this, there's going to be the battling with the devil in the matter of the temptation of Jesus in Luke chapter 4. And as soon as he's baptized, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But what had he already done before he faced the devil? He had been praying at his baptism. How do you start the day? How do I start any venture, any project, anything that is important in life? We can learn from Jesus to start that with prayer. We want to be successful. We want to accomplish what we're wanting to do. It includes God in prayer. Let's not strike out on our own and go by what we think and what we feel and we'll wing it and we'll learn it along the way and we'll pick it up as we go. But go to God in prayer. We sing in our psalm books, one of my favorite songs, concerning prayer, "Did You Think to Pray?" Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Before you started that major project, did you think to pray? Oh, forgot that. The lesson this evening is to learn seasons of prayer, and one of them is when we are about to start an important work. And Jesus comes up out of the water of baptism, and he's starting his earthly ministry. And what does he start it with? Baptism and prayer. And when he has to face the devil in chapter 4 and verse 1, and we make this point, and it's a good point, that Jesus faces the devil three times with "it is written, it is written." He faces the devil with Scripture, but I would suggest that he had already faced this preparing himself in prayer. Not just Scripture, but prayer to God. When you start an important work, let's start it with prayer. What's another season of prayer? Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. How do you begin your day? Well, the older you get, you begin it a little bit differently. You get up on the side of the bed and you sit there for a few minutes while you're aching and things are moving slow. When I was young, I used to get up and pop right out and get off. You know, now I get up and I sit there. I'm not talking about that. How do you begin your day? Does it include God? That would be a great time to offer up a prayer. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the text says, "In the morning, a great while before day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place and there prayed." In the Gospels, the word desert doesn't mean a place with a bunch of sand and nobody's around. There may be some sand there, I don't know, but it just simply means an uninhabited place. He wanted to have a private, quiet time. And isn't that, when you get up in the morning, that's one of the best times to have that quiet time? And Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and they found him, and saying to him, all are seeking thee. And he said unto them, let us go elsewhere into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for to this end came I forth. And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Notice that he has this mission, and I wonder if that was a part of his praying that morning. Lord, keep me focused on my mission. Let us go elsewhere that I may preach there also. He is mission-oriented. And wouldn't that be a great way to begin the day? Lord, help me to stay on point, to stay on mission, to stay focused on what I need to do today. His day started in quiet solitude with God. We have so much noise going on. The TV and the cell phone and the computer and noise outside and noise inside. Can we not find some solitude? Some time to go to God in prayer? He was dependent upon His Father. Our prayer life is directly indicative of whether or not we are dependent on our Father. If we don't pray much, we don't feel like we need Him much. If we pray a whole lot, we need Him a whole lot. A great while before day. There are things that we know that we have to face at work and at school and other situations coming up. What a better way. I can't think of a better way than to start our day in prayer. That's another season. Before we worry about what we're going to wear, before we worry about the schedule of the day, take some time to go to God in prayer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. You know, sometimes we'll have a long day. You ever had a long day? Long day at work? Long day at school? And we're tired. We're mentally and physically tired. A lot's been going on. All we want to do is sit down and kick our feet up and watch March Madness or take a break. It's been a long day. Is God in the picture? I chose Mark chapter 6 and verse 35. I chose Mark's account. This is the account of the feeding of the 5,000, and then later Jesus walks on the sea. And I chose Mark's account because he focuses on this idea of it being a long day and now it's at the end of the day. Look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. And he came forth and saw a great multitude and had compassion on them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this place is a desert, again uninhabited, and the day is now far spent. And then that's when Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's at the end of a long day of teaching. There has been a lot of activity that's been going on. Look at verse 31. Come apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And then there's teaching that is done. And then there's the feeding of the 5,000. And then come down with me to verse 45 in what we call Jesus walking on the water and that miracle. Mark 6:45. This is after a long day of teaching, after the feeding of the 5,000. Mark has made it clear that the day is far spent. This is on into the evening time. Straightway, he constrained his disciples to enter into the boat and to go before him unto the other side, to Bethsaida, while he himself sendeth the multitude away. And after he had taken leave of them, he departed into the mountain to pray. It's not a matter of I've worked all day and I'm going to kick my feet up and now it's me time. It's still communication with God. Another season of prayer is in the evening before we go to bed. We might have a weary day. We might have a full day. There would be things throughout the day that would be heavy on our minds, some problems that we've had to face. What better way than to take it to God in prayer? If you stop and think about it, what if every day the last thing on your mind was speaking to God, and then the next morning the first thing on your mind was speaking to God? Wouldn't you think that we would be stronger Christians, better Christians, more faithful Christians? Absolutely. The last thing on your mind and the very first thing on your mind. What are our minds filled with? What are our thoughts filled with? What we're thinking about, what we're talking about. And with Jesus, it was at the beginning of the day, and it was at the very end of the day. This makes us genuine. This makes us not simply going through some formalities at a building or at a breakfast table, but it is a close communication with our Heavenly Father at other seasons and other times. Paul says that when you put on that whole armor of God, we're trying to protect ourselves from the devil, and there's all kinds of things out there that he throws at us to assault us. We've got to put on those pieces of armor. That's right. And at the very end, he says that you pray at all seasons. We're learning what some of those seasons are from Jesus. When we begin an important venture at the beginning of the day, at the close of the day. And then turn with me to Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Luke 5. Another season of prayer is when things in our life are going really well. And we're doing great. Job's going great. Family's going great. Making good money. Got the bills all paid. The kids are well. Just finished with college, or just got a new job and bought a new car, a new house, and things are going great. I'm at the height of my ministry. I'm at the height of my service. Look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 15. By the time we come to Luke chapter 5 in Jesus' ministry, I would say that his ministry is going well. It's strong. He's performed some miracles. He's taught different places. And we read here where there's multitudes. That lets me know that his ministry is at its height. Luke 5:15. But so much the more when abroad the report concerning him. This is after the healing of the man with leprosy. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew himself in the deserts and what? And prayed. Here's another season of prayer. And that is when things are going great and we're at the height of what we're doing. We still need to turn to God in prayer in times of success so that we don't fall prey to the misguided success. When did David commit adultery with Bathsheba? When? When things were very successful. We can look at individuals in God's Word who are doing great, and at that very moment, that's when the devil comes. That's at the very moment we need to be praying, when things are going great. Because as Paul would say, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. He withdrew in order to stay focused. I've got all these multitudes listening to me. I've been performing miracles. I've got a great following. That's the very moment that I have to stay focused with God. Here's another season of prayer. And that is at times of success. Let's not drop our guard. Let's not assume that the devil won't come. When did the devil come around with Job? Read Job chapter 1, verses 1 and following. His family's doing great, offering up the sacrifices. They're on track with God. Things are going great. And then cometh the devil. Things are going great with Adam and Eve. Just got married. Things are going great. Then cometh the devil.
Jesus had just been baptized, comes up out of the water of the Jordan, then cometh the devil. That's a season when we need to be praying. And it's great that we have times in our life of success. Kids just graduated from high school. Kids just graduated from college. Got the mortgage paid off. Whatever. Things are going great at work. We're expanding. We're growing. Busy, busy. That's when we need to pray. To stay focused, to stay on track, to stay focused on God and not the physical successes around us. That's another season of prayer. Paul says praying at all seasons. There's more than just praying for food and at the church building. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Here's another season of prayer. This is the well-known chapter. It's mentioned in the Gospels about Jesus picking the 12 apostles. And he names them. Look at what the text says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in these days that he went into the mountain. My title slide this evening was Into the Mountain. Have we read that more than once tonight? Why have we read that more than once? Because you need to go and get away. Now, we may not have a mountain in Clarksville that we can go to, but find a place where we can get away and in quiet solitude face God in these seasons of prayer. And so once again, he goes into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. I confess to you that I don't even know if I've done that in my life. All night. And when it was day, he called his disciples and chose from them 12. How do you face important decisions in your life? Whom to marry? What job to get? Where to live? What local congregation to be a member of? When and where and how am I going to have children? And those types of things. Do we go to God in prayer? We should. It's a season of prayer. He relied upon God for guidance and wisdom. He withdrew himself in order to focus and continued all night in prayer. As we're going to see later in the book of Luke, where he's praying on one occasion where his sweat is as drops of blood. It's not just going through the motions. Our Christianity doesn't need to be surface and ritual and routine. It needs to be genuine, and prayer is what helps us to have that each day. And that's the lesson this evening. When we're praying in all of these seasons like Jesus, then we become genuine and real. Jesus knew that he was going to be making some decisions. And he prayed to God about that. Another season of prayer is when it comes time to make important decisions in our life. God should be the first one we go to. Often he's the last, if at all. But let's learn from Jesus to include him in that season, which happens a lot. And our young people face important decisions. And we're not going to turn to what our friends think and what is said on Facebook and what the latest tweet is. But what does God want for me? And we'll make much better decisions. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. In verse 16, the feeding of the 5,000. Here's another season of prayer. Luke 9:16. And he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up into heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. You'll find that when Jesus was feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000, there was always prayer first. It wasn't, hey, let's get the food and scarf it down. like a bunch of ravaging animals, you know. Did you notice, you ever noticed in the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000, Jesus did two things. Number one, we're going to sit down and be orderly. And number two, we're going to pray first. You ever notice that? It's not a free-for-all. Everybody running and knocking everybody over. And here's some elderly people. Get out of the way. It's orderly. And we're thanking God for the food. There are seasons of prayer where we need to be thankful. And food is one of several of those things. We're not so quick to forget to thank God for our physical and spiritual provisions that He gives us. There were a number of occasions in which Jesus was thankful. Look with me at Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, when the 70 returned from preaching the gospel. In that same hour, He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank Thee, O Father." We live in a very selfish world where people don't want to show their gratitude toward God. They're not thankful. It's just give me, and grab it and run on. Luke 22:17. Luke 22:17. In the institution of the Lord's Supper, He received a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." And there are other occasions. Don't forget to thank God. Don't grab it and run off. I see that so much. I see that in children today, in young people, maybe even in adults. Grab it and run off. Teach your children to be thankful. To be grateful for what God has given. That is a season of prayer. On that passage that we were at earlier in Mark chapter 4, the text said that the day was far spent. Sherry will tell you that when I don't eat pretty much on time, I'm like that Snickers commercial. Yeah. It can get out of hand. Yeah. You get irritated and kind of aggravated. I'm like that Snickers commercial. The text says that the day was far spent, and the people could have been like, "Well, I'm hungry, I've been out here all day, and here's some food all of a sudden, let's just grab it." Jesus said, number one, we're going to sit down and be orderly, and number two, I'm going to offer up a prayer first. We've got to stop and be grateful and thankful. Not just for food. We see these other occasions that don't even involve food. But stop and take a moment to be thankful to God. That's a season of prayer. Jesus prayed at another time, and this comes with regard to our announcements when we talk about people that are in the hospital and baby Charlie and others. We need to pray for others and be concerned for others. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. Jesus was praying for Himself, but He always included others in His prayers as well. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13. The little children that were brought to Him, that He should lay His hands on them and pray. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Another season of prayer is to remember those around you who need our prayers. Come out of ourselves and be mindful of those around us who need our prayers. In John chapter 12 and verse 27. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." We read this morning. He prayed for others. He prayed for Himself. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and 17, He prayed for His apostles that He was leaving behind. And then even in John chapter 17, if you'll turn with me there, not only does He pray for the apostles, but in verse 20, "Neither for these only, the apostles, do I pray, but for them also that believe on Me through their word." Others, later, who are going to obey the gospel. Yes, he prayed for himself, but he prayed for others and us as well. A season of prayer is to be concerned for others. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Here's another season of prayer as we move through the life of Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. We come up now to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you're familiar with the text and you know where we're headed here. We're familiar with the story. The text says that he went a little further and prayed to God. I use Luke's account here in Luke chapter 22 because it mentions a special matter of his praying fervently and earnestly. But if you start in verses 31 and 32, he prays for Peter. And then when they come to the Garden of Gethsemane, he tells them in verse 40, pray that you enter not into temptation. A season of prayer is when temptation comes. Did you think to pray? Somebody says, well, I gave into that temptation. Let me ask you this. Did you pray right before that? If we don't, then we don't have that help. Verse 41, he was parted from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became as it were great drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose up from his prayer, he came up unto the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. They weren't taking advantage of this season of prayer. And so what happens to Peter later that night? We know what happens to Peter later that night when he denied the Lord. He wasn't watching and praying. He wasn't vigilant like Jesus was. And so another season of prayer is the matter of temptation. And you'll notice in the text in verse 44, he prayed more earnestly. This is not simply going through the motions. When was the last time we poured out our heart and there was agony and stress? It wasn't just some casual thing, a memorized rote prayer, just a simple little thing that flows off the lips and then you move on to more important things. You'll notice the earnestness about this matter. And that's what sets Jesus apart from Peter on that night. Both faced temptation, both faced trial and temptation and tribulation. Jesus faced it with prayer and Peter faced it with sleeping. And look what happened to him. A season of prayer is the season when temptation comes around. And then last of all, when we come to the close of Jesus' life, turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Prayer was on his lips from the very beginning of his baptism all the way through to the end while he's hanging on the cross. And we find a last season of prayer is when he is dying. In verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then in verse 46, Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Most people that I've been around, because I'm a minister and I get called for these kinds of things, most people that I've been around on their deathbed tend to be brethren. And they will say to me, can we have a prayer together or something along those lines? And that's a great thing. But every once in a while, I'll be around somebody who's not. And it's amazing what some people are thinking and saying on their deathbed. Do you really want to be saying things that come from anger and hate and resentment right before you meet your Maker? Is that really what you want to do? And yet that's what a lot of people do. I can't imagine having the last thing on my lips being something that is unrighteous and ungodly. And yet people do it all the time. There are people who leave this world cussing with profanity. There are people who leave this world with all kinds of ungodly and unrighteous things. And look at what Jesus is saying. What's on his dying lips? What he's always done throughout his life, and that is pray to his Father. Willing to forgive his enemies, and they were forgiven later on the day of Pentecost when they obeyed the gospel. To forgive his accusers and tormentors. He didn't sit there with or hang there with resentment and bitterness, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 12, the root of bitterness that springs up and can defile a person. And yet that's the way many people die. And then into thy hands I commend my spirit, resigning himself to his Father. Brethren, let's learn this evening the seasons of prayer. Let's learn from Jesus' life. It commenced, it began, it continued all the way throughout, and it closed with prayer. What we see with him is not someone who's just simply going through the motions, but someone who has a genuine connection with his Father. And the promise is simply this, that in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, because of the connection that the Son had with the Father, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, and that's what we've seen, from his baptism all the way to the cross, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear. You underscore that in your Bible. He was heard. He was heard. He was heard at his baptism. He was heard when he got up early in the morning and when he prayed late at night. He was heard when there was success in his ministry and all of these multitudes are around. He was heard when he was praying for others. He was heard when he faced temptation and when he was hanging there on the cross. Having been heard for his godly fear. And the promise is that God will hear us when we pray like him. Put on that whole armor of God this week and top it off with the seasons, praying at all seasons. More than just for a meal, and more than just here at the building, but we see from the life of Jesus that several things throughout the day, from morning till evening, several seasons of prayer will come up, and you can take that opportunity. You know, we're changing from the winter season to the spring season. A season is a time frame. And there are different occasions and times throughout the day where we need to be going to God in prayer. And it will strengthen us, encourage us. It'll make us genuine and real. Prayer and Bible study will make us genuine and real. And that's what I want for us this week. Let's follow that example of Jesus as we go throughout the rest of today and as we begin this new week. There may be someone here this evening. If you want your prayers answered when you go to bed at night, you need to be in a right relationship with God. You need to become a Christian. We would encourage you to do that for so many good reasons. One being so God will hear your prayers. We can assist you in that baptism. And for those of us who are children of God, let's go to our Father and have that strong connection with him that we're going to address him at each and every one of these seasons and have a close relationship with him. If we can assist you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?